The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
The following programming is sponsored by Clean and Sober Media. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
If you need immediate help, please call the National Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline at 1-800-662-HELP. Welcome to Clean and Sober Radio, brought to you in part by Recovery Centers of America, the nationally recognized leader in drug and alcohol treatment, using proven evidence-based treatment, including 24/7 medically supervised detox inpatient and outpatient options. You'll receive exceptional care from an expert team of master-level clinicians, physicians, nurses, and staff using 12-step methodology and medications. Jefferson University Hospitals and Thomas Jefferson University, providing excellent clinical and compassionate care in the Philadelphia region, a proven leader in healthcare and education since 1825, and Acadia Healthcare, with locations on the East Coast. Acadia maintains a standard for excellence in the treatment of behavioral health and addiction concerns. And now, here are your hosts, Gary Hendler and Mark Sigmund.
Hey, thanks for joining us and welcome to the show. Clean and Sober Radio features real people with real stories about addiction to drugs and alcohol. Mark, welcome back after a two-week hiatus. And what's new this week in recovery news?
It's good to be back, Gary. We got a lot of news coming in. One, the first one is a story out of Miami. Franklin County Sheriff A.J. Smith had to arrest his own daughter in meth bust. Deputies conducted a control buy involving his 38-year-old daughter, April 18th. Smith has a reputation for cracking down. "We don't do meth" is the slogan. The case hit me in the face. Charges of trafficking meth of 14 grams are over. And we're seeing this. We're seeing this chair is driving me nuts. We're seeing this. Meth is been coming east for a while. You and I have been talking about this, and I'm seeing it all the time in treatment now.
Oh, man, what a story that is.
I know. Could you imagine?
That's pretty embarrassing, isn't it?
It's pretty embarrassing, but it really shows how much addiction, you know, does not leave anybody off the
doesn't
table.
Doesn't discriminate, you know, against who you are, how much money you have, who your daddy is.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. I mean, here he is, a sheriff, and he has to bust his own daughter.
Here's the new slogan: don't mess with meth.
That's what it was. I think I got the slogan wrong.
I think
wrong.
You did.
That's
what exactly. Else you got? What else you got?
So we got another disturbing story. Fish and marine wildlife off Florida's coast are ingesting high amounts of pharmaceuticals flushed down drains from outdated sewage treatment plants. A study from Florida's International University Coastal Fisheries Research Lab found 58 different pharmaceuticals in 93 bonefish sampled along 200-mile stretch of the South Florida coast. In one case, one of the fish had 16 drugs in its system. And this is disturbing.
I hate hearing about any kind of wildlife, whether, you know, it's tiny or big, being abused. And that's horrible.
And it's happening all the time. And what it is we have a lot of outdated sewage treatment facilities that are not picking up the drugs. So you're seeing every kind of drug. They're finding crayfish are coming up positive for antidepressants, and they're actually more aggressive than they normally would be. So it's really having an effect, and it's a serious issue that is not talked about.
Look, one of the issues is, and people are, I'm hoping people get educated, you're not supposed to flush unused or expired drugs down the toilet.
Yes. Check out a lot of communities. Most communities have disposal areas where you can get rid of these drugs safely, because you just don't want them in our water system.
Absolutely. Listen, we're going to take our first break, and hopefully when we get back, Bonnie Bramlett will be on the line and we can have fun with her.
Sounds good, Gary.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
If you're struggling with alcohol or drugs, Recovery Centers of America can help. RCA's local inpatient and outpatient programs are founded on science and delivered with heart from an expert caring team who will inspire and guide you every step of the way. Call 1-888-RECOVERY now to speak with a treatment advisor. At RCA, you'll be in a community that builds connections and fosters support from peers and RCA's team of medical professionals and recovery support specialists. At RCA's state-of-the-art campuses in Devon, PA, and Mays Landing, New Jersey, they tailor your treatment to you and also offer specialized programs for patients with history of trauma, for patients who have achieved recovery but are experiencing a relapse, for young adults, adults 50 years and older, a confidential program for first responders and military, and a faith-based program. RCA answers the phone and accepts patients 24/7. And because it's local and in-network with insurance providers, treatment is affordable and accessible. Don't wait. Call 1-888-RECOVERY. Recovery today.
Hi, this is Reggie Leach at the Philadelphia Flyers. I listen to Clean and Sober.
888-329-3306. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Well, we're definitely back. We're still waiting for Bonnie. Look, this is show business, right? It doesn't always go the way we want it to go.
Yes, but I think she's going to show. I really do. I just think that it's not going to be our timing, Gary.
Yes, it's... Turn it over, right?
Turn it over. Yes.
Yeah. I don't like turning stuff over.
It's very hard. And it's very hard to admit how I'm powerless over certain situations. Like all the traffic I hit on the way in, I thought Gary was going to kill me.
And you had a dream last night.
Had a dream that we were having trouble getting Bonnie Bramlett on the air. But then it all worked out. I mean, it's crazy. I have these dreams that a lot of times come true, Gary. So,
well, let's hope this one comes true.
Yeah, she's down like probably south in Alabama on some farm.
Well, no, she actually lives in Illinois.
Okay, I got the state wrong.
You got the state wrong.
I'm thinking about the Allman Brothers farm.
Well, if we get her on, you can question her about that. Listen, let's talk about what happened in New Jersey the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, so New Jersey legal – weed went legal on – the 21st, I believe. They saw opening crowds topple 12,000 with 12 participating dispensaries. $1.9 million worth of cannabis was sold, 12,438 ounces and 7,500 ounces over the next month. And another thing is they saw 64,000 ounces of pot sold in the last month of medical cannabis. So I see this. I have a family, and I'm a little worried about driving. I'm from New Jersey.
I don't blame you one bit. And this is not just Jersey. This is going across the country. And there are states already that have legalized recreational. So I agree with you. You know, people laugh about it. They joke about it. But it does change the way you drive. I mean,
have conclusively backed that it impairs you, and you often think you're not impaired. But everything from timing to spatial, it definitely impairs drivers. And we've talked about it before on here about how this isn't just pot. This is going to be mixed with alcohol.
Absolutely. And guys out there and gals, if you think you have a medical marijuana card and you can get away with anything driving, it's not true. It doesn't give you a pass if you're high.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, Gary, as a clinician, I see medical marijuana cards all the time. And yeah, People coming in with full-blown issues that are smoking pot all day, every day, and they got their medical. It's very easy to get a card, you know.
Yeah,
and
of course.
And you know, it's causing problems in their life. It's not talked about. But it is disturbing to think. I know there was a lot of weed anyway in Jersey, but just that it's being – put out on this high levels and a lot of people are on the highways. I mean, we'd love to hear what people think, you know?
Absolutely. Give us a call, 1-888-329-3306. That's 1-888-329-3306. And okay, so let's talk about – let me bring this up. First of all, if you're listening to us and you need help, their help is available. There's no drive-thrus. There are no delivery services, but if you need help, call the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline at 1 800 1-800-662-HELP. That's 1-800-662-HELP, and you can receive help.
Yes, you know. And definitely reach out. I mean, we talk about it on here, how hard it is and how isolated that you might feel. And just to know that there's help out there, and there's a lot of people like ourselves that have been through this, and there's nothing better than getting out of that isolation, don't you think?
Yeah, no, there's no question about it. All right, let's see what else is doing. I got an anniversary coming up.
I know you do. It's a big one.
It is XL.
Amazing. Amazing. I mean, 40 years. That's just – it just blows me away. That's so much time, and we're having a big – you know, I'm going to see you
Sunday. Yeah, that's right. Okay, yeah.
We're not getting
Let's not talk about that.
Got it.
All right. Let's see what else is going on here.
What do you think about the pot thing in Jersey?
I think it's – look, I think the legalization of pot is terrible. But it sort of doesn't matter anymore because the barn door is open.
And there's so much money in it.
And there's so much money, and there'll be consequences for sure.
Yeah, I'm in agreement. It's amazing how it's gone completely the other way. Like there's not a middle ground. I mean, you know, only in America, right?
Do you think, Mark, that people that never use marijuana will now start to use marijuana?
I do. I do. I think that one of the dangers is you're going to have people that are inexperienced users who decide, well, you know, it's legal now, and they're more dangerous on the roadways because they're not used to it, right? And you're gonna get some of that. I mean, I don't know that you're gonna see a whole lot of, you know, additional, you know, addicts addicted to it because they were probably addicted anyway. But maybe you will. But it's really concerning. I was just talking to a doctor prior to the show, a psychiatrist, and they were talking about how their biggest fear with this is young adults and adolescents, how they're going to see this is safe. And, you know, studies have really shown that it really affects adolescent brains and young adult brains differently because their brain hasn't matured yet. And she was saying she thinks we're going to have a lost generation. I think that's kind of taking it too far. But I think that there's definitely going to be some issues, you know, and there already are, but.
Does the legalization of marijuana. Yes, Brad, chime in.
Legalizing it, what impact is this going to have on the illegal sale of pot? And you're always talking about it's now laced with fentanyl.
That's
dangerous
true.
Stuff.
Okay,
for so this, I'm not, you know. But
legal pot, you can only get a certain amount at a time. So I think the illegal market is still going to be there.
Yeah, I mean, but it's kind of a lot that they can get at a time. I forget if it's 2 ounces. But that is there is another side to this, right? There is another side that that it's going to knock down some of the illegal sale. However, what we're seeing is that the cartels are increasing drugs in other areas to make up for the knockdown. So you're seeing actually more fentanyl come in and things like that because they're starting to lose, you know, they're not making as much money on the pot.
And what do you think is next? What's going to be next? We never thought 5 years ago that marijuana would be legalized like this. What's the next drug? In Oregon, isn't cocaine legal?
I know mushrooms are. I don't know about cocaine, but maybe one of our listeners could let us know about that. But it, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, I have a feeling that it's going to come out of the gates really strong. There's going to be problems, and they're going to have to scale it back a little bit.
Yeah,
you know, but we'll see.
Oh my gosh, what are you seeing? Are you seeing people in your practice that have been affected? Just because they have a medical marijuana card and they're abusing that?
All the time. Mm-hmm. All the time. And what I'm getting is, I mean, it's on the list for treating opioid addiction in Pennsylvania. And the crazy thing is there's no medical research backing that. But what I'm finding is I get people that come in and they have they have full-blown issues with other drugs too, but they won't give up the pot. They're like, I have a medical card. And, You know, there are some people that can just switch and stay on pot, but more frequently, much more frequently, you see that they're not able to stay sober from the other drugs because they're smoking pot. And it's, right. you know, it's making them much more likely to go back to the other drug.
Well, it impairs your judgment, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Obviously it does. So the next step is if you're impaired, why not? Let me just snort a little meth or some coke, you know what I mean? Or drink.
Yeah. I mean, your decision making isn't on point, but it's also you think about it and you're like, OK, well, somebody's smoking pot all day. Their big problem was heroin. But like, how are they going to, you know, how are they going to really connect with sobriety when they're still getting impaired every day? And so over time, you know, next thing you know, there's Percocets around and it's like, hey, I might as well just use a little bit of this again. And so you're seeing people have a harder time stay sober because they feel like they can't let go of the pot.
Right.
You know,
listen, if you want to listen and or watch us, you can do so live. If you go to Facebook, to our Facebook page, Clean and Sober Radio, just like some of these viewers, Laura Story is watching us. Steven Sussman is watching us from Florida. Victoria Piotrowski is watching us. So, you know, check us out. Vic Doherty, I guess Vic Doherty, his nickname is Doc. Debbie Reynolds, Bob Moeller. Check us out. Go to Facebook right now and watch us on Clean and Sober Radio on Facebook. And give us a call if you want to talk about this at 1-888-329-3306. And we are still waiting for Bonnie.
Yes. And let us know, you know, whether you disagree with the pot legalization or you agree. I mean, there's a whole camp of people out there that agree that it's a positive thing.
I'm going to call her live right now.
You know, and let us know what you think and what your take is. It's give us a call. 888-329-3306. I thought I was going to botch that number for a second here.
You only did that once about 6 years ago.
A couple times, Gary, if you remember correctly.
All right. So, you know, everybody, let's just talk about the show a little bit. We've been doing it for 8 years. We're being heard outside of Philadelphia.
We're outside of Philadelphia and also in many other vicinities.
We're in Las Vegas. We are in Tampa. We are in Augusta, Georgia, and soon to be in many more stations.
That is going to be so cool.
Yeah.
Just to get the message out, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it's all about, don't you think, Gary?
Yeah, absolutely. That's why we're here. Yeah. Live radio. Can be a little rough. When you're expecting something and you're not getting it.
Yeah, when you're waiting for a guest to come on.
Yeah.
And it throws your planning off
a
little bit.
It throws everything off, doesn't it? But you and I have been through this before.
We've been through this multiple times.
Listen, man, what we've been through in our addictions, this is a cakewalk.
I know. And you know, it's funny because if anybody knows Gary Hendler, you know his worst thing and fear is when a guest doesn't show up.
Yes.
You know, because, you go into a show and you plan it and it really throws off the planning.
We do a lot of planning for these shows.
Yes.
You know?
And then you just got to wing it.
All right. Let's be positive. She might surprise us.
It's in my dream.
And come on. It was in your dream.
I got something. Do you want to take a guess on what time she's going to show up? Maybe some of our listeners can post it on the on our Facebook here.
And if they're correct, they'll win a gold coin for their sobriety, right?
I have 3:38. I think it's going to be a late show. 3:38. Yeah, I think 3:38.
I'm thinking no show. Brad, what are you thinking?
I'm just hoping.
Brad's just hoping. He's positive.
I feel for you, man.
You guys, you feel for us.
You know, Steven Sussman says, I'm not in favor of pot legalization. Laura Story says, I stopped smoking pot and doing all drugs once I quit alcohol.
Well, you know, I'd like to know from Steven what he's hearing in Florida. What's going on in Florida? Steven, if you have it, give us a call, 1-888-329-3306. Tell us what you're seeing down there. I know you're involved in a lot of stuff, and we'd just like to know your views if it's possible.
Steven's on the beach right now laying down, and he's like, Gary just told me to call in.
Yeah, right.
Just chilling out on the beach.
He's a professor. He's not laying on the beach right now.
Where do you think he is?
He's grading people.
They're
grades.
He's grading. Yeah, that makes sense, you know.
Yo, Wes, what's up, buddy?
Hey.
Everybody say hi to Wes.
Your computer screen's broken, so I'm here to fix it.
All right.
Everything's going well today, isn't it, Gary?
We can handle it.
With people like him, we can handle it.
Steven, the number is 888-329-3306. 888-329-3306.
Say it again, Mark.
888-329-3306.
Okay. All right. I hope he calls in.
Laura Story has a question. If someone takes a sip of a drink, is that a slip?
If somebody tricks you into doing it, I don't think it is. But if you take a sip of a drink, knowing what it is, it's a slip. That's my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't, right? If you don't. No, and you take a sip by accident. That's actually happened to me before.
I'm sure it
where
has.
Where you spit it out.
You spit it out.
But if you willingly do it, I think that's a slip.
Yeah. Look, that's just my opinion, maybe your opinion. I don't want to really judge anybody because whatever they do is on them. It's not on me. And you just have to realize what the consequences are. But is it a slip? I think it's a slip if it's intentional.
Yeah, and you know, hey, thank God if somebody takes a sip, but then they actually stop and they say, oh, whoa, I'm not going back here, right? But yeah, you could definitely call that a slip in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, look, I got to tell you something. When I started coming up, maybe it's different now. It seems that way. The thing of having a slip was almost not in the vocabulary. It's like you don't have a slip. Now, that was probably – people who were uneducated who were giving that kind of information out.
Yeah.
I think it was a stronger thing that you don't use. And now it just feels like there's a revolving door a lot of times in rehabs. You must see patients over and over again, Mark, do you?
I do. And I think part of that is the drugs out there. You know, I see it's just so hard for somebody to get off fentanyl and heroin and then whatever else is in there. Yeah. And so then you see a lot more relapse.
Yeah.
So
hey, Steve Sussman's on the line from Florida. Steven, how are you?
Okay, Gary, how are you?
Good.
You're not on the beach.
Not on the beach.
No, I'm actually preparing for my summer semester in my office.
You're preparing for your students?
Yes. Yes. The syllabus.
You know, if I was your student, I know you'd give me an A, Steven. You know that. Right?
I'm a tough grader. I
bet you are.
Are you on speakerphone? Do you think you might be able to take it off speakerphone if you are?
I'm off the speaker now.
Okay, right,
great. It was cutting in and out.
But
so
I still hear an echo, which is okay.
Hold on. We're working on it.
It's okay.
Oh, it's on his end? Yeah, we don't have an echo. Okay, real quick, Stephen, because we have 2 minutes before break. What are you hearing? What's going on in Florida that you know about with the legalization?
Well, I don't hear as much as I used to. We have a state attorney here in Palm Beach County, Dave Ehrenberg, who's been a real advocate in attacking and addressing drug addiction, these sober homes and so on and so forth.
Right.
He's just done a great job. But my problem is with legalization of marijuana is that isn't there a steep cost to society? I mean, we have to we have to deal with it's same thing with gambling. When we legalize gambling, then you have people who become addicted. Have to get help in overcoming that addiction. They go broke, so on and so forth. Same thing with marijuana. It's a steep cost to society.
Yeah.
It also increases the use by teens, right? Teens will use it, no doubt. They smoke, you know, because cigarettes are legal, so they'll smoke. So I think that's an issue. Traffic accidents that are a result of drinking while high or driving while high, so on and so forth. So whereas I believe in the free market, government does play a role. Government does play an important role in making sure that an oversight, if you will. And I think this is one area that government needs to have a strong oversight and not make marijuana or any drugs legal.
Well,
I don't think it's a good idea.
Well, the problem I see is that the government has caused the problem, because it's either about money or these politicians want to keep their jobs, and they know their constituents want legalization. So that's the twofold I see with this, you know?
I do agree with you. I'm a political scientist, and I'll be the first one to tell you that the problem often is government, government and how they respond and to whom they respond.
Good.
And it's often based on who has the deepest pockets in contributing to re-election campaigns and so on and so forth.
Right. Hey, Stephen, thanks for the call. We have to run. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon, brother.
See you, Steve. All the best.
All right. Thank you. And you're listening to Clean and Sober Radio, and we will be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Huntington Creek Recovery Center is Eastern Pennsylvania's premier provider of transformative care for individuals whose lives have been impacted by addiction. Our 40-acre campus offers a tranquil, recovery-focused environment. We specialize in evidence-based care that addresses the effects of trauma and offer a unique program specifically for adolescent males. Huntington Creek Recovery Center can help you achieve lasting sobriety. Call us today at 844-948-2320.
Hi, I'm Billy J. Kramer, and I listen to Clean and Sober Radio.
888-329-3306. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Hey, if you just joined us, Mark and I are just talking about anything we can talk about as far as what's going on in the world of addiction and recovery, especially the legalization of marijuana. And if you know, if you want to give us a call, or it's 1-888-329-3306, or if you want to watch us live, please go to Facebook to our page, Clean and Sober Radio. And we got a lot of viewers that are watching us right now, like Betsy Green from the Philadelphia area. She just celebrated 33 years last Tuesday.
Way to go. Congratulations.
That's what we want to hear. That's what we want to hear. Jan Olaf Atterborn is watching. Daniel Fleming is watching. Mimi Dorshu is watching. There absolutely is, and people are taught to expect relapse. Well, that's what's going on now.
It is, and you know, it's tricky because there's some truth to it, right? I mean, I don't really know too many one and doners where they come in and that's it, right?
No, I know that, but if you set the bar, if it's not expected that you're going to have relapses, expected or accepted, maybe the bar is a little higher. I know this is a disease. Listen, yeah. It is a disease. So, you know, the one and doneers are lucky. It's not a quick fix, obviously. There's not an easy answer. I just felt that when I was coming up, starting almost 40 years ago, the conversation of relapse was really not part of the conversation.
Well, we are all, most of us, very all or nothing people.
I know. And the drugs are different now. That's another thing.
The drugs
it is worse. It makes it harder, right, Mark?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the one that I see people have the hardest time with is opiates.
Yeah.
You know, opiates are the hardest one. Now, again, they're not the ones that, like, you know, somebody's going to die of a seizure coming off of. But, you know, you just think of the level of depression that people go into, the level of illness and feeling sick, and then also the level of post-acute withdrawal that you see. You know, opiates and also benzodiazepines aren't talked about that much. And you know, there's a real problem with benzodiazepines. And so to expect relapse, I guess it's more like saying if you do relapse, what steps can you take?
Good point.
Plan, but maybe not expect, right?
That's it. That's good advice. Have a plan.
Have a plan. Yeah. And, you know, and also you know, the shame sometimes keeps people away from coming back. Like they'll relapse and then they'll just disappear. You know, they'll be like, I'm out of here, and they won't pick up their phone. I mean, so that's another part of this. It's like, do you want them really running when they relapse, or do you want them, you know, letting you know?
Listen, when you were just talking, you brought up something. There's a stigma, even in meetings, for people who go out from some people. Even in the community, there's a stigma.
Yeah, you know what I love to see? I love to see in a meeting when somebody raises their hands for 24 hours or less.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, everybody's clapping for them. But then they're approaching them after, how can we help you? Because that step of coming back after a relapse is... Yeah.
That's why Zoom meetings, I couldn't stand. There's no human contact. You're right. Especially the newcomer in a meeting. They want to be hugged. They want to feel. They want to see somebody's eyes, you know, looking at them and saying, hey, it's okay. You're accepted here. You can get help. And we do recover.
Yeah, and to not be shamed, and right?
Not to be shamed, yeah.
Not to be shamed. And somebody once told me the worst thing for an addict is to feel judged, right? To really feel judged by – because, you know, it's like we were judging ourselves so harshly, right?
Yeah.
And, but it is a different world out there.
It is a different world, right?
We're hitting some topics. We're hitting the legalization of marijuana controversy, the idea of relapse controversy.
You know, I'm thinking – I've been sober for almost 40 years, but I cannot comment on what it is like to be addicted to opioids. I really have no right to comment on it. You know that, if I think about it?
Yeah.
I don't know what that feels like.
I just know from what people talk about and the amount of relapse that you see from opioids, you know, and the scary part is, as people know, it's like, you know, somebody stops opioids for a while and then they decide to go back on them and their tolerance is down. And so then you see overdoses, and it's the worst one, I think. I mean, myself, but they're all bad. And I'm sure people have different opinions. And
let's hear some of them. Come on. It's Friday afternoon. You're not doing anything. Call us 1-888-329-3306. Let us know. Hey, if you disagree with Mark and I, that's fine. Sometimes Mark and I disagree. So
– yeah, we do.
We do, right?
We do. And you know, we have a big topic is, what do you think of the legalization of marijuana? And, you know, we want to hear from the other side too. You know, does anybody really support the legalization of marijuana and the decriminalization, and you know, give us a call, 888-329-3306, or if you just think it's a really bad idea.
Or if you're smoking right now, call us.
Yeah.
Right? Call us. Tell us why, as you said, it's safe.
Yeah. You know, I run into – when you run group, sometimes I try to avoid the topic because you'll get this – it's everybody, you know, you'll get all these different opinions, but you'll get a lot of people that are like, it's good for you.
It's natural, right?
Yeah, it's natural. It helps me, you know. And
Listen, I do believe this. If you absolutely have chronic pain and CBD helps your pain, I'm all for it. If it's for real. Now, you can fool yourself all you want. You know?
Yeah.
But if it's for real, I'm for it. But the abuse is going to be out of sight, which it probably is already.
Yeah, and cancer with, you know, wasting syndrome or whatever with appetite issues and sometimes you hear with seizures. I mean, there's definitely some legitimate medical purposes.
Yeah. Look, a lot of drugs started out legitimately. I remember my drug of choice was Quaalude. It was absolutely a legitimate drug for God knows what. I think it was for back pain or something
sleeping,
like that.
Sleeping, right?
Sleeping or back pain. It was categorized as a hypnotic. But at first, it came out, it was legitimate, and then the abuse. So a lot of these drugs are – the intention is to help people.
In the beginning.
Even the oxycodone, I believe, maybe at the very beginning, maybe for a week or two, it was for helping people. And then it got out of control because human nature is people want to feel better. They want to get out of their head. and they want to get out of pain.
So Ricky Trevain says addiction is powerful, cunning, baffling, and powerful.
Yes, it is. Right?
It really is. And how we can delude ourselves, right? I mean, it's actually amazing how the human brain and how we can delude ourselves.
That's right.
You know,
we are so fallible. And you know what? We think we're at the top of the food chain. And I know we're getting off subject. I don't think we are. I think
– What do you mean by that?
Nuts. Listen, we got to waste time here. I think there is – you know how like we have dogs that we have as pets and we can control them?
Oh, now we're going out there.
I think somebody is controlling us.
You do?
Yeah. From outer space.
No.
All right, I'm kidding. Hey, listen, Mark Willing – he would be dead now if Quaaludes were still available. Absolutely. Ed McCash is watching. Hey, a lot of listeners are watching us on Facebook on Clean and Sober Radio. It's fun to watch us. We have fun doing this. We'd have more fun if
watch
I guess
a squirm.
Yeah, watch a squirm. That's exactly right.
When a guest doesn't show up.
That's all right. We can handle it, right?
You really threw me off with this. We're not the top of the food chain thing.
Listen.
You too, Brad?
Brad told me about this.
Okay,
I'm just relaying
right.
it to you.
Yeah.
Do you remember the first time you smoked pot?
I do. I didn't get high.
How old were you?
I was actually 17 or 18.
It was late.
Yeah, I started drinking at like 12.
Oh. Oh, okay. So it was drinking. Okay.
Where it started. And I remember I didn't get high the first time. And people told me that. But then once I did get high, I got high.
Okay. Let me ask something. How do you respond to this? Hey, alcohol is legal. What's the difference?
Yeah. Well, alcohol
has killed more people each year than all the drugs combined.
Yeah, exactly. And I do believe it's a gateway. I mean, I really, really do. And there's some literature coming out about this where pot smoking primes the brain for addiction, specifically cocaine.
Really?
Yeah. That it's – and, you know, if you think about it, like somebody said cunning, baffling, and powerful. But what other tool in addiction, something that tells you it's safe and that it's going to – you know, and everything. And, you know, something that, you know, you finally decide to stop. Opiates, right? And then you're like, well, pot was never an issue, right? And then the pot, you know, isn't enough and it leads back to the opiates.
My wife always says it's like changing your seat on the Titanic.
Yeah, isn't that the truth?
Right?
Yes.
It is. It's the truth. And, you know, we don't know the long-term effect of any of this legalization. You know, we do know the effect alcohol, what happens to people each year. I mean, I don't know the numbers, Mark, but I've heard that more people die from not just ingesting alcohol, but from the crashes and all the bad decisions than all the other overdoses.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. And, you know, something I was thinking about is you hear about it getting stronger and stronger, right? Where does that stop, right? You know, you hear about dabs, for instance, and they're very, very potent.
What is it?
They're called dabs.
What
and
is
basically
that?
It's marijuana wax and it's a high, high concentration of THC. I mean, I've heard levels of 90%. And so these dabs are extremely addictive, you know? And so you wonder, like, is this just gonna keep going up with different potencies till the point where it's really, really, really addictive, you know?
Yeah, I don't know the answer. I am sure that other drugs will be legalized that we can't even imagine in the next 5 or 10 years.
Yeah. And the synthetics. You know, somebody was telling me they think that eventually the pot will pretty much all go synthetic, you know, which is another whole thing. So,
yeah. So listen, you know what Mimi Dorshoe says? Of course there is a stigma. Addiction break the human spirit. It's complicated for everyone. Family, addict, those in the field, such as you. It's horrific. It certainly is, Mimi. It's horrific.
You know, and Steven Sussman does not agree with you. I mean, agrees with you that we're not exactly the top of the food chain or the chain.
And Steven Sussman is a very bright man.
He says, We don't run as fast as other animals. We don't climb like other animals. And we don't fly like birds. It's a great point.
And animals don't kill except to eat. And we kill for a lot of horrible reasons.
And they usually don't use drugs except for humans putting it in the wastewater, right?
When you read that article, people think, oh, it's just a fish. It's a living thing. And to contaminate them because you can't just get rid of your unused or expired stuff the way you're supposed to because there's take-back days all through the year. And come on. Either you buy into it that a living thing is a living thing and it's precious, or I guess you don't buy into it.
Yeah, and do we need to update our treatment, our water treatment facilities to screen better for this stuff?
Well, that's money. Right?
Yeah, it's money. And I'm thinking because the other one about brown trout, remember a couple weeks ago we were looking at brown trout in streams? And one of the things that they were noticing, these brown trout were getting exposed to meth, right? And what they were noticing is it was affecting their ability to eat. It was affecting a lot of different areas for them. And I'm a big believer that when you mess with something in nature, it messes with you eventually.
Well, I was going to say, when the water is contaminated, doesn't it come back to us in some way? Where do we get our drinking water?
That's true.
Right?
That's true. I mean, we're just so big. I mean, you think of a little fish, their sensitivity to this stuff. But I don't really drink tap water, do you?
So what are you saying?
I think tap water – okay, we're
listen,
getting –
I've heard that the water in the rivers around Brooklyn or whatever they are so contaminated or I heard an article about some of the bottled water is so contaminated.
No.
Yeah.
I think Gary drinks tap water.
No, I don't. I don't. I do if I'm brushing my teeth.
I do too.
Okay.
I do too.
But I drink – why are we drinking bottled water? It wasn't good enough?
I don't know. Tap water to me tastes very chlorinated and I don't know. I mean it's really snobby. Because I remember, as a kid, drinking tap water all the time, and it was never a problem.
When did bottled water come into effect? In the 80s? No, probably before that.
My parents never got it.
Can someone just let us know when bottled water came into effect?
Yeah.
Somebody out there has to know.
It is. We're totally snobs now.
Mark Willig must know.
Oh, Mark. He knows everybody on Earth, so he must know this.
Shout out to you. Yo, Brad, from Mark Willig. For all kidding aside, it's about responsibility for your own actions, whether you're using, not using, polluting the water system. You have to have some level of compassion or empathy for other things than yourself.
Yeah. One of the things that's just coming up in Jersey is they're switching to all plastic bags.
To plastic bags?
Oh, no. They're outlawing bags.
Thank you, Mark.
Sorry, I got that twisted. They're outlawing bags.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, it's you go to Wawa and I like to have a bag.
Well, they want you to either bring your own fabriced bag or a paper bag. Remember they used to just use paper bags?
Why? I'm wondering why we don't just use paper bags at Wawa.
Good point.
Is
there are no handles on them?
No. And I was reading yesterday that it actually makes no difference because the amount of energy that goes into these bags that people are going to be getting and the amount of plastic bags that they're going to be buying on their own. I went to Wawa down in Brigantine and they were charging me a $1.50 for a bag. I mean, I'm
sounds high. Brad, does that sound high to you?
I wouldn't go there.
Yeah, I think it was $1.50. Maybe somebody could tell us on this, but I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And then I started thinking it's all about money, but
it's all about money. It's all about money.
God, we're getting into a lot of topics today.
Yeah. All right. Let's try to get back. If we can get back to the thing I just mentioned about responsibility for not just yourself also has to do with addiction. I know it's difficult, but when you're in the throes of addiction, you know, it's not just hitting. It's not just about you. It's hurting a lot of other people. You know, let's do this. We're going to take another break, and when we come back, maybe Bonnie will be on the. Will be with us.
Has my time come and gone? Yes.
All right, we'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
A cancer diagnosis can knock the wind out of you. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health can help. Our brand new Asplund Cancer Pavilion brings you 86,000 square feet of cancer-fighting science for truly comprehensive care. Backed by the strength of an NCI-designated cancer center. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health. The power to out-science cancer.
Hi, I'm Billy J. Kramer, and I listen to Clean and Sober Radio.
888-329-3306. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Hey, we're back, everybody. Thanks for sticking with us today under these extreme conditions. But Mark and I can always pull it off.
We do. Mark Willig says the bottle was introduced in 1767.
The glass bottle?
I guess.
Oh, I'm sure of that because, you know, when they do excavations some places, they dig up these bottles from like the Revolutionary.
Yeah.
They were very thick glass. You know, I guess that they're putting the moonshine in there.
Yeah, moonshine. Do you ever drink moonshine?
Wait, that is a technical term for Steven Sussman. Where did the term moonshine come in?
That's a great – and he always has the answer
I'm
to these
thinking
technical
this.
Terms.
People were making the alcohol under the moonlight because there was no electricity. Moonshine.
I think we need somebody to Google that or come back with that fact, right? How was the name moonshine, how did it come out? Did you ever drink that stuff?
Never.
No, me neither.
Never. Never. Did you ever drink that?
I plead the fifth.
You plead the fifth? I bet Wes drank it. I bet he drank moonshine.
Gary, you were spot on. The term moonshine comes from the fact that illegal spirits were made under the light of the moon, and in every part of America, early moonshiners worked their stills at night to avoid the detection from authorities.
Thank you, Wes. Thank you very much. That's our producer, Wes.
I'm blown away.
What, that I knew that?
Yes.
Or that's what it was?
Yes, that you knew that.
Listen, my wife says I have a lot of very useless information in my head that doesn't need to come out. Okay. Oh, well, look, Steven Sussman, creating alcohol at time under the moon. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Steven, I got it before you did.
You
did. Give me an A.
And you just – I think that you knew that answer.
How did I know that?
I don't know. Somewhere you read it, and then you came out with the right answer here. And then now you're like, yeah, I got the right answer.
So what is moonshine? What is it? Is it like 100% alcohol?
Yes. Grain alcohol.
Grain alcohol. Right?
Yes. And it supposedly, like when I was a kid, they used to say it makes you go blind. I don't know if that's true. Or
well, a lot of things they said.
I know.
Wes, is that true?
I think they probably used corn a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Corn, because it's so abundant. By the way, did you guys know that the entire sport of NASCAR was founded on running moonshine?
Why?
True story. Because when they souped up their cars so they could run from the cops,
yeah.
And eventually they were like, we should see whose is the fastest. And then it turned into NASCAR down the line.
Wow. How did you learn this?
That's interesting.
I just know stuff like that.
He's a motorhead.
I'm not a motorhead. I do watch NASCAR from time to time.
That's interesting.
That is.
Right?
We got to check with Mike Hepp about that.
I thought Wes was going to say they actually put the alcohol straight into the engine.
I bet you at one point or another they tried that.
Yeah.
Wow.
The alcohol,
yeah.
It's bad for everything.
It is. It is. And, you know, on a serious note, like sometimes like the alcoholic, they can run into stuff where like their throat ruptures, you know, and they can bleed out because it's so toxic to the throat.
Do you know what an alcoholic gait is?
Yes.
This is what I understand to be. They also call it wet brain. These are slangs for the disease of alcoholism. Alcoholic gait is somebody who walks a certain way because of brain damage.
Yeah, and wet brain, basically what happens with wet brain is we have a certain B vitamin, which maybe somebody, it might be B12, but maybe somebody could tell us, that's very important for our brain.
Okay.
And alcohol takes that B vitamin away. And so what you see is alcoholic dementia, wet brain, usually happens in extremely late stage alcoholism. And it's like other kinds of dementia, like, you know, huge memory issues. And you know, one of the they actually did autopsies on people that had this, and not to get too graphic, when they put the brain down, people with this wet brain, the brain would just kind of like disintegrate on the table, like it wouldn't stay together.
You know, I thought that a wet brain actually, if they weighed it, would weigh more than a regular brain because of the saturation.
Oh, I don't know.
Well,
I don't know.
Steve Sussman says that Wes was absolutely correct about the NASCAR.
Man, you guys are blowing me away today. I need to bring up a fact.
Do you watch Jeopardy?
Rarely.
You know what Jeopardy teaches me?
What?
How stupid I am.
That's why I don't watch it. I mean,
I'm good if the categories are classic cars or music. I do very well, but unfortunately, they don't.
Another one's Wheel of Fortune. I never get them right.
If you can't get that right.
I don't get them right. And crossword puzzles.
Yeah, I can't. I can't do it. Hey, let's talk about the recovery question of the week. Linda S. from Augusta, Georgia asks, how do you know that I, she's saying her, or my loved one who is struggling needs treatment? So she's saying, how do I as a parent know that my son needs treatment? And how does my son, who is in an addiction, know that he needs treatment? Well, you probably would know it before your son would.
Yeah, and you know, we always recommend, you know, get evaluated by a substance abuse professional where they can sit down with them. Because where it gets tricky is like, you know, is somebody just get, you know, they're having a problem with pot and they don't have to worry about withdrawal? Or, you know, does somebody have to worry about withdrawal? You know, do they have to worry about, you know, alcohol withdrawal that you can die from, right?
Yeah,
benzo withdrawal, you know, so it's really important to see a medical professional and get assessed, and they'll tell you whether, you know, inpatient is recommended or if they can do it in outpatient.
And I would recommend to a parent or a loved one of somebody who is struggling to have this information before you actually are going to move on it. Like we say, you know, should have it on your refrigerator, like poison control. Have a number or several numbers, because a lot of times even these doctors have no idea where to send patients to get treatment. And that's a real crime.
Yeah, this is true. You definitely want to have a plan in place. I'm always shocked because, you know, there's something called family denial, right? Yeah. Where not only is the person in addiction in denial, but the family's in denial. And sometimes what you see is, like, you know, somebody will have a kid that's using full blown and nobody knows about it, right? Nobody knows about it. And you got to wonder, is the family in denial too? You know, they're seeing a lot of changes and they're just not, you know, putting it together.
You know, maybe it's not, you know, full denial. It's like they're hoping, you know, it's not true. They're hoping he or she will grow out of it. It's just a phase. They're hoping. And sometimes they do grow out of it, right? And sometimes they don't.
And, you know, it's so tough because everybody's brought up in this, you know, you go through a stage where people are drinking and, you know, maybe they're trying pot and things like that. And it's so hard to tell, like, is this just a stage? Right. Is this just
right?
You know, they're going to get it together after they're done school or, you know, are they going to get it together? Or is this going to keep going and keep progressing? It's hard to tell.
Well, yeah. I mean, just a lot of denial. Look, I know that, you know, people that are in long term recovery, I've spoken to people and they say, you know what? I've been sober for 10 years, 12. Maybe I wasn't an addict. Maybe it was a phase I was going through. And some of these people act on that assumption. And usually it's a bad move.
It's a very bad move. I mean, because it's like, why take that risk? And right. You know, addiction progresses even when you're sober. So, you know, you get these cases where somebody drinks after all those years and they don't make it back, you know?
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's really tough. And you can see how it's so confusing for parents.
Sure. Look, I personally know how confusing it is. And I'm in this. You know, but it worked out well finally, you know, but It's all encompassing if a family member, especially a child, is has an addiction. It's all encompassing.
I can't even imagine. I mean, you have to have gone through it to know.
Yeah, it's rough. It's rough. Hey, listen, you know, I sort of we want to apologize to everybody. We thought Bonnie was going to be on. She's been on twice before. I know we'll get her. I know we advertised that she was coming on. It wasn't false advertising. And we just appreciate everybody still supporting us. And we hope that somebody learned something today and had fun watching us and listening to us. And remember, if you or a loved one is struggling with addiction, help is available. Call 1-800-662-HELP. That's 1-800-662-HELP for Clean and Sober Radio. I'm Gary Hendler.
I'm Mark Sigmund.
Thanks for listening. To learn more about our broadcast, please join us on our mission at cleanandsoberbroadcasting.com. Have a great weekend, everybody.
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves. I hope we pass the audition.